All right, today is a little different. And I've never done a sermon where the sermon is kind of tangentially attached to the scripture, because it's not my style, but this really kind of fit where we are right now. It is tied to the scripture and the whole idea of what we read in all the scriptures this morning, because Pentecost is that celebration of first fruits. That's what the Jewish celebration of Pentecost. That's why all those Jews were in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost, where the Spirit comes down, and it's a signal between, or a link between, Old and New Testament. The Jewish people are celebrating first fruits. The Christians are gathered, or the disciples of Jesus are gathered in Jerusalem. The Spirit arrives as the first fruits of the empowerment of the church to do the work to which we have been called. So that's where it all links together. And we've been on a journey for close to 2 years, longer than that, but really the 2 years official, of transitioning and going from our one model to a new model that we'll talk a little bit more about as we go forward. And really, we're now at the point of first fruits, where it's time to start really rolling into it. And so I want to talk a little bit about the transition process and the structure and how we imagine it functioning. And really, at this point, it is imagination. It's fun. But we start out with this word. The whole idea of this new model, the circle model, is based on the word free. We are free to use our gifts for the work of the church. In hierarchical structures, you exist and you are not free. You are free to ask permission to get permission from someone to do something in the church. The circle model, you start with the freedom. As long as you're not a heretic, and I hope if you've been listening to me for 11 years, if you're a heretic now, I'm really in trouble. You're free. There you go. Use your gifts to do the work of the church. The question really comes up, though, is what do you mean by the word free? Because every word has a definition, and how you interpret it's really going to be important to how we all use this word to link ourselves together. Freedom can be, or free can be, a word that leads to utter chaos and ruin, because everybody's just running around doing their own thing, and no one else can tell me what to do, and And that's just not what we want. So let's play a little game now. We'll talk about what we mean by the word free, and we'll learn exactly how we are defining it. And we're going to do that by playing a game called Free, Not Free. So, real simple game. In round one, here's what you are free to do. You are free to have a passion, and you are free to invite other people to join with you in that passion. You got an idea? You're free to invite people to come and do it. So, Sarah, I want to do Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You are free to stand up and invite people to come and do it. That is what you are free to do. You are not, however, free to demand that everybody in the church does what you want them to do. So the beatings will not continue until morale improves, okay? There's no beating people into submission here. So you are free to have an idea and invite other people. You are not free to kind of throw a noose around people and just drag everybody along with you. That's not what we mean by the word free, because everybody else has their own ideas, right? So that's round one. Round two. Very similar to round one. You are free to have really great ideas and pursue them. If you have an idea, run with it. Have a blast. Enjoy yourself. However, you are not free to have a great idea and expect everybody else to do it for you. Don't have a great idea and say, you need to do that, and then go hang out in the hammock. Like, that doesn't work. So if you have an idea, it's your idea. Run with it. Why hand it off to someone else who doesn't have that same passion, that same sense, that same call? So this is what you are free to do and not free to do. You are free in the circle model to wear many hats. You are allowed to be involved in as many ministries as you have gifts and calling to pursue. And who determines that? We all kind of talk together about that, right? In the old system, if you were a deacon, you were not a trustee. If you were a CE, you were not a deacon. Well, that doesn't make sense, especially in a church where you have, 40 to 60 people. It doesn't make a sense to limit everybody into those different things. There needs to be a more permeable connection between the circles and the ministries we're involved in. If you're gifted at something and there's something going on, do it. It's a good thing. So you're free to do that, which is nice. You are not, however, free to do nothing. If you have gifts, you got to wear a hat. Somehow, some way. It's a metaphorical hat. If you don't like hats, it's okay. But wear a hat. Because the church only functions when everybody is invested into its mission, into its ministry. So if you have a gift, figure out how to wear the hat and get into it. And the nice thing is, you got permission, so you can figure out your own role. Have a blast, right? The link to this whole thing, which is, this is where it kind of switches from the chaos, everybody's bouncing around doing their own thing, to the church moving together as a unit, is when we talk about freedom, we also have to remember that we got to move together. We can't be pulling against and tearing one another apart, because that's kind of how things fall apart. We do need to figure out a way to move together. We are going to talk a little bit in just a bit about church council, but that's going to be one of the really goals and jobs of the church council, is to help form or help determine a theme for whatever spiritual journey the church happens to be on at that time. It is not, the themes are not permanent. So if the church council wakes up on one Sunday and they get together and they go, we think we need to be crazy sunglasses church, and everybody has to wear crazy sunglasses, we will not forever there be for known as the crazy sunglasses church. I'm not even suggesting that we be known as the crazy sunglasses church. It's whatever they determine how long that journey is going to work. That's what the theme is for. And there's two ideas, because this is new language for us, and we understand that. It's not part of the vocabulary, either socially or spiritually, of Central. And so one of the things that we're really trying to do is try to give folks opportunities to learn the language. And there's two ways that we're going to do that. The first has already been run once, and it's going to be run again. And that's this book by George Bullard, Pursuing the Full Kingdom Potential of Your Congregation. And if you get from the title, the book is rather verbose. But this is the whole thing. I don't want that to throw George under a bus or to intimidate people from doing it. I want you to go into reading the book with eyes open. George has incredible ideas. He just is in desperate need of an editor. And for whatever reason, he doesn't want one. We're not sure why. The benefit of reading a book like this together is you get to distill down to those really good ideas. I know the folks who were with Amanda who were reading the book, they came up with some wonderful things that they already want us to help really start pursuing and begin the invitation, keyword invitation, process of getting people into that. And over the summer, we're going to offer another group that goes through this book and reads it. I'm going to lead it. And if there happens to be need for more than one, I'll lead two groups. And you have to know how much I love you for making me read this book more than once. But I'll do that for you. That's something that I'll do. The second is this book that was written by Lee Spitzer called Endless Possibilities. And this is really where the language of spiritual journey comes out. This is a book that Lee had the idea for from the very start of his pastoral ministry. Every stop along his pastoral calling, the themes that arrive in this book have been central to how he does stuff. From pastoring a church all the way up to now being the regional pastor for ABCNJ. I know some folks who have read it. It really is a great and accessible and a wonderful book. We're going to be offering conversations on this book in the fall, and hopefully it'll be involved as an ebook because Lee's got to get me the Word doc so I can do the conversion for him. I will beat him up at that point. But this is what we're going to do. So two opportunities really to begin to learn the language and get it into our parlance. Not only the way we speak, but how we act and interact with one another. And we hope that a good portion of folks who are part of the church are really going to invest into that. I think it's going to be a valuable time. It should be great. But anyway, this is what we mean by the word free. Free to use your gifts. Free to have great ideas, free to wear many hats. Not free to demand from other people, not free to not do anything, not free to just hand stuff over and have you do it. Free to learn to move together in a ministry theme. I think that's going to be a big deal. So the question that people have been having as the boards are pondering the transition is, well, how on earth would this all work? Because it is, we understand, this is a radically different structure from the one that we're used to. And we really do. We understand that it is very, very different. So I want to run through an example real quick. Say you're sitting there one morning and you go, You've had coffee, because there must be coffee involved. I've got this great idea for a ministry. We hope that happens, right? That's what we want people to do, right? Well, in the board structure of church, and again, that's not just this church, it's every board structure of church, there would be two questions you would have to ask after you have that great ministry idea. The first is, what board should be doing this? And the second is, if you happen to want to be involved in the great ministry idea, is, well, what board do I need to be on so that I'm allowed, the key word is allowed, to do this? And that really is kind of a board mentality. And there's some problems with these questions. One of them, the first one is in particular kind of rough, because you're basically going, well, the board should have thought about this already, and darn it, now I got this idea. So you're kind of tossing someone and going, you should have had this already. I know that's not intended, but that's often how it's received. And so in the circle model, we need to have some different questions. We need to ask them. They're similar, but they lead to a radically different place. The first is, who might want to do this with me? In other words, I had the idea, so I have to take ownership of it. So who else might want to go along this ministry with me? And the second question is, which circle might help me brainstorm? So it's not, I'm going to show up at the circle and say, all the circle, you're going to do my idea. It's sitting down with the circle and going, okay, here's my idea. Help me think about the things I have not yet thought of. Logistics, timing, that all that sort of thing. Long-term projection, all that sort of stuff. And that's how the circles really help these ministries come into their own. And so those are the two different questions we need to ask. And as we ask them, one of the things we need to wrestle with is, well, who does all this ministry work? We're a small congregation. Ask the current trustees. There's just a nightmare just keeping the building up and running, and the grass mowed, and the roof not leaking, and all this stuff. How are we going to do more, like, ministry? Who does this stuff? Let's talk about it. In the current model, the people who do the ministry of Central Baptist Church are members of Central Baptist Church. Either officially or unofficially, they hang out with the congregation. We look within. When we have an idea, that's who we look at. The people who are sitting in the pews with us, which one of these people can help me do this work? In the circle model, what we need to do is we need to look beyond that inner circle of Central Baptist Church and look further out in other friendship circles. Lee Spitzer now owes me royalties for mentioning two of his books in one sermon. Well, you can all tell him that the next time you see him. Anyway, it looks beyond. The core leaders for the ministry come from Central because it's a ministry of Central Baptist Church. This is the people who are invested in this congregation. They should be the core leaders of the ministry. But the workers come from a much broader spectrum of relationships. That doesn't exclude the people who are part of Central Baptist Church, but it doesn't mean it's exclusively them. The neat thing is that we have a model for this type of ministry already existing in the tri-borough that really kind of shows us what we need to be doing as we have these wonderful ministry ideas. And that model is the Bread of Life Food Pantry. Everybody knows that the Bread of Life Food Pantry is a ministry of Epworth United Methodist Church. When it started, there were three people in the church who wanted to have the food pantry. Can you run a food pantry with three people? Maybe you can get it set up and run it for a week, and then you're like, whew, I'm glad that's over, right? But no, you can't do a long-term ministry with that. And so here's what happened. Epworth United Ministry, those three people began to reach out. And the first thing they did is they looked for an existing organization that was doing the food pantry concept and learned from them. And so they went to the South Jersey Food Bank. And they learned, what are the legalities of setting up a food pantry? What type of relationship can we form with you? How do we go through the approval process to get approved to have this food pantry in our town? Will you walk with us? And they did. The South Jersey Food Bank walked with those people who were the core leaders of the Bread of Life Food Pantry, and they helped set them on the road to get this thing up and running. The neat thing is after they had that plan, then they went to the other churches and other faith communities in the tri-borough and said, here's what we're doing. Here's point A, this is point B, this is point C, this is why we're doing it, and this is who's helping us. Will you help us? Now, when you are invited by someone to join in a process or join in a ministry or join in a task, are you more or less inclined to join somebody who actually has a plan? If they got a plan, okay, I know what I'm doing. If they don't have a plan, you're going, oh no. Because we all have had experiences of joining someone who doesn't have a plan, and then the whole thing just gets dropped in our lap. Nobody likes that. Churches don't like that, and individuals don't like that. These guys had a plan. And what do you know? The churches showed up. And not only did the churches show up, the Boy Scouts showed up, and the Girl Scouts showed up. And there was an art show at the community center a month and a half ago. And the price of entry was donate to the food pantry. Because this ministry, everybody knows it's a ministry of Epworth United Methodist Church, has captured the imagination of the town. And the really cool thing is this. People have joined Epworth United Methodist Church because they've worked at that food pantry and thought, wow, these people actually care what happens in this town. And evangelism happens. Good word. We actually have a ministry in our church that functions like this on a very small level. It's Stillwaters. Todd and I aren't part of Stillwaters officially anymore. My voice can't take it, and Todd's schedule is out of whack, but there's still Stillwaters. Stillwaters wouldn't exist if we didn't have people who are not officially members of our congregation as part of it. I think Jeff is the only one who's officially a member now, right? Does everybody know that Stillwaters is attached to Central Baptist Church? You know how I know that? Because when people who haven't heard about Stillwaters or haven't contacted Stillwaters for a while, they want to book them, who do they call? Me. I get the call. So they call up and go, hey, is your gospel band still together? Sure. I'm not with it, but I'll give you the number. And so Stillwaters plays the Easter sunrise service. Fun time, right? We wouldn't have a worship team if we didn't go to the circles beyond the immediate core of our church. Because the people who are able to play are beyond that inner core. So we have things that function this way. We now need to make that part of our instinct on how we're going to function. This is the idea. As we have these great ministry ideas, there is a question we do need to ask ourselves. Very simple. I've got this great ministry idea, but does it contribute to our current journey? Our current journey. Doesn't mean it, if it doesn't, it's not a time in the future that would coincide, but does it exist in the current journey? Does it help us pursue that? And that's something that we do need to wrestle with, because if it's something that's going to kind of create a dissonance in the current journey theme, then maybe we need to step back for a little bit. Maybe we do the legwork in the background, finding out and dreaming about the possibilities before we begin to present it to other people. So that when the journey theme that's current comes to an end and the church council and the church is starting to look for a new theme, maybe at that point you go, hey, I got this idea. Let's take a look at it. And maybe your theme is now, your ministry now becomes the heartbeat of the next journey theme. I do want to caution you at this point, because there's a very big temptation in that idea of asking that question and waiting, and hopefully the next time comes around, I will, my theme will coincide. And it's this. Allergies are terrible. We need to not fall into the trap of thinking, now it's my turn. You understand the difference? One is awaiting and saying and putting it out there saying, does the wisdom of the congregation think that this is good for this next theme? And if the congregation says, sure, great. And the congregation says, no, then you wait for a bit and say, well, we'll come back and try it again. In the idea of, well, now it's my turn, you're putting a demand on the congregation. Because it's my turn. And that goes back to that free, not free. You're not free to demand that other people do what you want to do. So we can't fall into that trap. We have to be willing to let the congregation kind of ebb and flow naturally as our relationships come together. So that's the idea of how these things will function. The other question that we'll be getting is, well, how on earth is the ministry circle up and the ideas that we all move together? The other question is this. How is a circle different from a board? That's the one that people come up with all the time. And it's a really good question. A couple ways that I want to point out. The first is this. In a board circle, or the board concept, the only people who can be on the board are members. In order to be in the hierarchy of the church, you must have committed to be a member of that hierarchy, that church. Which, in a board model, that makes absolute and complete sense. Why would you want someone who's like, oh, I'm just passing through, can you put me in charge of like everything? That doesn't make any sense, right? So you want the board to be the people who have committed to this church. We get that. A circle model needs to function from a slightly different standard. And again, you're going back to the idea of friendship circles on the inside, because there are different levels of involvement of folks inside Central Baptist Church. Some people are members and are officially members. Some people have just been showing up here forever and a day, but they're not, for whatever reason, officially on the membership rolls. And we understand that. Well, in the old system, these people could not be directly or officially in charge of any of our ministries or officially linked to any of our ministries. Well, in the circle model, that idea is going to expand some so that these folks really can be involved in these circle ministries, whether they are officially members or not. We are going to have one limitation on it, because even though there is there's a lot of freedom in here, we are a church. We do have links that go beyond just this fellowship, and we need to honor that. And so the one limit is going to be, if you're going to be a representative on the church council, we're saying that would be a really good thing to have members be on the church council, and that, so we'll still have the membership concept. We just think that's a good way to limit it. So the spectrum is much broader in who can be involved in this stuff. The other way that the churches or the circles are different from a board is this. A circle is not limited to a board meeting. If you've ever been in one, let's table this until next meeting, then we'll forget to talk about it for a whole month. Ever been in a board meeting like that? It's every board meeting you've ever been part of, right? In a circle, and really boards should have functioned the same way, but for whatever reason, the ethos of that died. In a circle, the conversations can and should be ongoing. Don't need to wait until we're officially together in order to converse or think about this stuff. We need to broaden our understanding of how we connect. And so phone calls and texts and emails and just sitting with two people after worship and having a conversation and saying, this is what we're thinking, what's going on here. This is an important way that these circles are going to function. If we're not having those ongoing conversations, not only will the ministry not get done, but the relationships that keep it going don't get formed and strengthened. And so that's why those conversations need to kind of be ongoing. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not having meetings. But in the circle model, meetings are kind of limited to certain things. The first would be brainstorming. If someone's got an idea in the ministry circle, or someone out from who's not officially part of the circle has an idea and you want to brainstorm, you get together and you start talking over things and chewing stuff and just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. Just as long as you don't throw me at the wall and hope I stick, we're good. So I'm just seeing if anybody's paying attention to that. Okay, so that's good. So that's the idea. Get together and brainstorm. Chew things out and hash it out. That gives you your fodder to converse when you're not in each other's faces, right? In a good way, not a bad way in a face. The next thing is this. If you are in a circle and you have a specific task to do, well, I think that counts as a meeting. So look, I mean, Amanda's just so proud to be involved in cleanup day outside. I just love that picture. So you're like, what are you holding? It must be, she's happy. She's killed a weed and she's just smiling ear to ear. But that counts as a meeting. If there's a task to do and you get together and you do the task, and you, again, the relationships are much broader than just kind of the three or four people who are in a circle, that's a meeting. Why not? Right? Why do we have to have a meeting in order to come and do the task? We can have that conversation outside that. The last thing is this, because I do think that we want a record of the decisions that we've made. I think legally required to have a record of the decisions that we've made. So I do think that the final idea for a meeting in a circle would be, having had the conversation, get together, discuss whatever final clarifications need to be made, make a record of it, and then you make that decision. And that gets entered into the church record. Because again, we want to have a legacy to pass on to next generations, and so they need to kind of see what on earth we were doing, right? So that's a good thing. But that's the way circles are different. They're not limited to that once a month. The conversations are meant to be ongoing, and the meetings are limited to certain things. So you know, if we get together at a meeting and we're bringing up all new ideas, and we're not brainstorming, we're actually trying to do, this is what happens in a lot of meetings. We come up with an idea, we try to brainstorm about it, we try to set the schedule, and then we try to do it all in like one 15-minute span. And no one's had any time to digest it. The circle is that long going, that long chew. There's a, when the scripture speaks about meditating on the scripture, meditating on God's word, it's actually, it's a, the image is of a cow chewing cud. We don't want anything that gross because we only have one stomach, but that's the idea. Just keep chewing on these ideas and be in conversation to see what insights come out. So that's the way the circles are different than a board. What's the timeline of all this? This is a big switch, and we really understand it. I understand it. I don't think anybody in this church has ever been part of a congregation that was structured this way. We get it. We really do. So what's the timeline of how this really gets off the ground? Well, the first is obviously, hi, it's Pentecost. We've been dealing with this a little bit, so, and you have the nice trading cards. But that's one of the things we're doing during the potluck after worship is the tables for the different circles are going to be set up. And we're going to be inviting people. Hey, come and look at the circles. And if you remember the questions that were on your trading card, they'll be on the different tables. And see what it is that you really think, wow, I need to be involved in this ministry. Doesn't mean we're going to make you the secretary next week. Don't fear about that. But just come and put it down. Remember, as many hats as you want, no one's free to wear no hats. Somehow, some way, you can be involved. By June 30th, the boards in their current iteration are going to be winding down their current business. So they'll close out whatever last things that they have to do, and they'll prepare for being emerging into the new reality. Over the summer, the circles are going to be forming in the iteration that we're going for. Some of these circles have already started forming. So if you remember all the cool things that we did over Holy Week and the ideas that we're doing in Pentecost even today, that all came from conversations that came from kind of an embryonic worship circle, which is really kind of neat. I know the trustees are, you know, they're really geared to prepare to make the transition to a property circle, and they're looking forward to having more people involved. But this is the idea. So the circles are going to start forming over the summer. We think this is a great time to do it because, as it's been our habit, the boards as they exist have traditionally wound down during the summer. So it's a great time to do that transition. By the fall, what we want to do is two things. Larry's got a team that's working on bylaws that kind of, you know, put this out as an official document for the church. A draft of those bylaws will be made available to folks and free to converse. And remember, conversing the exact same way that our circles want to, wow, the allergy circles, that our circles want to converse. You know, ongoing, remember, we want the conversations to be respectful, helping us all to move in one direction together. I think we are fantastically equipped to have that conversation about bylaws. Also in the fall, the embryonic church council is going to meet and start kind of pondering what our next journey theme is going to be. Our current journey theme kind of has been to get through the transition. And so now, thank goodness, we're done. We're done with that theme. And that's what we're going to do. So the congregation, the church council is going to start looking forward to what our next theme is going to be and start helping the church kind of ruminate and discuss what that is. By winter, we want the bylaws to have a final draft and be up for a vote for the congregation. So now that it's official, this is our absolute official structure, and this is what we are doing. Larry's, you know, as I said, is overseeing that, and they're going to do a fantastic job, and I know you guys are going to have great ideas for that. Now, this is the timeline. As we move forward, there are a couple things I want us to be aware of, and I know this is much longer than a normal sermon, but there's a lot to chew on. I'm sorry. This is very much an experiment. I really want you to understand that because I have had some wonderful questions posed to me. I know the transition team has had wonderful questions posed to them about how this all works. And the reality is we can give you what we think or what we imagine might be the reality is, but we're learning how this works as we implement it. which is, you know, scary on a lot of levels and freeing on a lot of levels, because I think this way a lot of our different personalities get to contribute to how our church functions, and I think that's a good thing. So we need your help. We need everybody to invest themselves into it so we can move forward together, and this can be create just a beautiful reality, a new future for Central Baptist Church. As we go forward, and as we understand this is kind of a chaotic situation, please understand three things. First is, there are going to be some things that get lost in the shuffle. How many of you have ever moved from one house to another? Yes? How many of you, when you got to your new house, didn't lose anything? Anybody? Okay, Todd, you don't count. Sit down. Todd raised his hand. So, never. Like, I can't move from one office to another without losing something. I can't move from one room to another without losing something, right? This is a big transition. We're moving from one structure to another structure. So there are things that are going to get just dropped in the shuffle just because there's a new reality and people's attention is elsewhere. So please understand, expect something to get dropped. Here's the wonderful thing. If it's something that you really value and miss and think, man, this needs to be part of who Central Baptist is moving forward, you might have found your new ministry. Yay! Right? Because it's something that's really dear to you and you have a passion for it, pick it up and run. You're free. Find some folks. They'll help you. And I think that might be neat to see the something return that might have gotten dropped, not through, you know, any hostility, just through it, just where attention was elsewhere. The other thing is, in this chaotic time, I want you to understand, and the transition team wants us to all to understand, is that things will still get done. Bills are going to get paid, maintenance is going to be done, worship will happen, disciples will be formed. The last two especially, because that's why we exist. And so these things will continue to happen as this, I'm really cracking my voice all over the place, will continue to happen as we move forward through the transition and get to kind of the official codification of the new bylaws. The last thing I want us to understand is this, though. While the title of this presentation was Completing Our Transition, the truth is actually we are never done transitioning. Ever. The reason for it is very simple. As individuals, none of us are ever completely formed into the image of Christ in this lifetime. Right? Ain't none of us perfect. So when you get together a bunch of people who are still in process of being formed into the image of Christ and saying, hi, you're all a congregation, part of a body of Christ, do you think that congregation is ever completely finished being formed into the image of Christ and the ministry to which we are being prepared? Never. That process is always going on, and it should be. Because as we mature in the faith, as we mature in our understanding, as we mature in the use of our gifts, Jesus opens up new paths and says, hey, you guys are ready, go over here. This is what Dr. Spitzer means when he talks about ministry journeys ending. That's the idea. And I think one of the great struggles for churches like ours and many others is that what happened is that we had a theme and we ran with it. And Jesus said, your theme is now shifted over this way, and the further we've gotten away, the further we are from where we really need to be. It wasn't done because we're all terrible people. It's just done because we had a theme and we liked it. We ran with that. And I think now we're skipping track to something new. As we do this, and as, you know, anxiety and celebration, whatever runs and all different things, remember, this is a journey we walk together. We are really meant to be one. And so fast moving or slow moving or happy or anxious, it does not matter. We are one body in Christ. We are meant to move together. And I think when we do, great things are achieved because people begin to look at us and say, wow, God's with them. And because God's with them, they actually care about this world in which they've been set. So here is our transition. And I think it's going to be a wonderful adventure for all of us as we move forward. Amen.